and certain of what we do not see. Creflo Dollar once said, "Faith-filled words will put you over. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And Pastor Bill Winston says, "Faith takes responsibility." So, as the Lord speaks to me to strengthen my faith, what that looks like for me in the mountain that I'm going to be moving is that next year at this time, I will be speaking Spanish. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Walk by faith, not by sight." This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Where the family is divided and some are angry and some will turn against their own family, a father against his child, children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You see that in the Word of God? All men will hate you because of me. Now this is the direction we're headed in, where all believers, true God followers, are going to be hated by all men. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be, say it with me, saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. In other words, don't go try to hide somewhere. Find another place to witness. Flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. Now listen to this. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, do you remember what they called Jesus? Do you remember what they said when he was casting out demons that day? And they said, "You are casting out demons by the chief of demons, by the devil." If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Don't take it so personal. When you come under attack, take it as a compliment. Hallelujah. I am being endorsed. This is a confirmation that I am a child of the King. The devil is upset. Hallelujah. Something good is going on in the kingdom if the powers of darkness are screaming. When the demons are screaming, God is on the move. Hallelujah. Church must not be shaken. You must not be shaken. We must recognize that God has forewarned us. So, do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be known. Any of you been praying that way, that all this dirty corruption that's been down under the carpet, that's been hidden in the back closet, God turned the lights on, what's been whispered in secret, shouted from the housetop, expose the corruption and the corrupt. Expose them and contain them. Arrest them. You know, I was wondering how some of these things happened in our schools. And I realized in some of the news reports, back when we had some shootings here in the state, I realized that I'd been praying that the evil would be exposed. But what I had failed to recognize is that we have many evil situations that have been exposed, but nothing's been done about. And so I realize we need to start praying that the evil will be arrested and contained and will be neutralized so it does not have the ability to accomplish its purpose. So I started praying that way. Not only that the evil, the hidden, is exposed, but that the workings of the devil be arrested and neutralized and contained, so that the kingdom of God can advance even in the darkness. Do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. Verse 27. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. I trust some of you are up long before daylight. Now it's pretty easy, isn't it? Don't have to be up too early. Notice it's pretty dark when I get up in the morning. But what God is speaking into your heart, what the Holy Spirit is sealing and searing inside of you. You're reading the Word, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you nuggets and revelation and the Word of God that you're able to take with you. Take it out into the day and share it. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Ah, now we come to the verses that did not show up in my notes that are the most important key verses this morning. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. We are spirit beings. We are not to fear evil or the works of evil people, for our life is in the hand of the Lord, and we are to recognize all they can do is attack this fleshly house in the natural realm, but the battle is not in the natural realm, is it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers in high places, and we must remind one another that Christ has conquered for me and for you the power and authority. He's given it to us to walk in that victory on this fallen planet now, today, in our lives, even in your family, even in my family. Amen? Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. We've talked a lot about fear. And fear, that stranglehold, must be broken over the body of Christ. We must not tolerate it. We must not negotiate with it. We must not fall under the burden and the dark cloud of the spirit of fear, because it paralyzes faith. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid. Have reverential fear and respect of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. A lot of people don't talk much about hell today, right? Word of God does. And the Word of God says that I'm not to be afraid of somebody that can promote me to glory in my flesh, because all they can do is promote me to glory. We step from this life into the presence of God. We're in the presence of God here. We step into the presence of God. That is all that happens. You remember the martyrs? They would, many of them would stand at the stake and they would say, "You do not need to tie me down, because the power and the love of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit in my life will deliver me from your flames." We need to once again understand we are Omega Christians. In the Greek, there is an Alpha and there is an Omega. Jesus is both. He is the whole tamale. All of it's contained in the God who said, "I am that I am." But we are living in the Omega generation. We are at the end. We are the Omega force. God has called us to be strong, mighty, prepared, and equipped and ready mentally, physically, spiritually to stand and to minister in the last days. So wimpy Christians, get over your wimp and get over your limp. And stand up and be strong in the strength of God in Jesus' name. So we are not afraid. Can you put yourself in here? Can we put the church in here? So we are not afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. How many think we should have a whole lot more reverence for God and fear of God than we do of a pandemic or anything else that's going on around the world or in the land, or who's in the White House or who's not? What kind of trash is being delivered back and forth in the news and on television? We need to have a fear and an awesome respect of God. When God said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and when your work is finished, I'm going to take you home." How do you lose? You can't lose. You win either way. So we are not afraid. We as the McLean family, we can say this. You can put your name in there. Kathy, you can put your name in there. Kathy is not afraid of those who kill the body. We at Abundant Life are not afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, we are filled with a freshness and a newness and a wonderful praise and thanksgiving and a reverence for our God who rules from the heavens. We have reverence and respect for Him. And just as Moses had a mama who had no problem, think about this, standing up to Pharaoh on behalf of her child, we should have no fear to stand up against the powers and principalities and the voices that are roaring in our day. These voices of the lion of Judah has conquered the toothless demonic imposter, and the lion of Judah is roaring to his church. Get yourself ready to move forward. Living the moral life means that I have a deep respect for God. I have reverence for God. I have more reverence for God's word than the devil. Now, just a minute. The word of God says that the devil fears and trembles. Father, I choose to have more respect for you than the devil. I choose to have a healthy, godly respect. So when I read the word, it's the devil that's trembling and not me. I have respect for your word. And when I speak your word, I know that the devils are trembling. And so, church, you need not be shaken during this time, because the God who has saved you is going to sustain us. He is going to carry us. It is the enemy that is shaken when he hears the word. We rejoice. The enemy comes in. The enemy attacks. We rejoice. And we're exceedingly glad. We rejoice and are exceedingly glad. Living the more life, no fear, no fear. We will not give in to that spirit of fear. Matthew chapter 6, you know this passage. Let me share it with you. Now I'm back into the ESV. ESV. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious. Turn to somebody and say, don't be anxious. Tim, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious, Tim, about your life. See, this is the devil's plan. To cause us to be anxious about our life. Do not be, yeah, there you go, Bill, thank you, a little louder. Don't worry about it. That's it. Don't worry about it. Right? Don't worry about it. Right, Cynthia? Don't worry about it. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? The body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Can't buy it. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God, look at this, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow it, you know, it has a 24-hour window, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more? We're talking about the more life. Will he not much more? The answer is yes. It's a redundant question. God will much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore, 31, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, that's the unbelieving Gentiles, not the believing Gentiles. For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father, what? God, do you see me? God, do you know what I'm going through? God, do you know what's going on with my son? God, do you know what's happening in my nation? God, do you know what's going on in my city? Your heavenly Father knows. He knows that you need them all. Not some of the things that are necessary. He knows you need them all. So this means if you're looking to settle back into your house after 30-some years, then God knows that you have some needs there, John. And they're going to be straightened out shortly. And I know God's going to use both of you to help make that happen, but it's going to happen. It's time to say, let God arise over your people, Lord. Bring favor on your people in Jesus' name. Pour out that favor. The Father knows that you have need of them, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious. This word keeps coming up. It's a word for fearful. Do not be fearful or anxious about what? What you eat, your home, your clothes. Oh, but here's another one about tomorrow. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not be fearful about tomorrow. Why? For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. When you get there, it'll have enough anxiety that's real in that day. You don't need to dream any up or give the devil any opportunity to give you anything extra. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is what? Its own trouble. Now, I don't know of anyone in this room. I don't personally know of anyone in this room that lives a life consumed by anxiety, but I've met people like that. And I've even known some in the church that were just consumed with anxiety and fear over all kinds of things. And, you know, when the stock market went up and they made a lot more money, then they were afraid they might, you know, that it might come down. They might lose it. Well, when it was going down, they were afraid they weren't going to have enough to live on. But then when it started going up, they were afraid they were going to lose it. Once it was going up, that maybe it would come back down. You know what? It did come back down. But then it went back up again. I remember somebody saying, "Pastor, I've lost so much money." But what I knew was they had just made all that in the year before, because it went up and they made it, and then it went down and they lost it. And I thought, how much better for we as Christians to not be on the world's yo-yo, but for us to have the wisdom of God. We live, we are in this system, but to have the peace of God regardless of what's going on around us. No anxiety for tomorrow. Let it take care of itself. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a passage that addresses stewardship. And in this passage, fear is a big part of the story. Now, I don't know if you've recognized it as a big part of the story, but it is. And I want to just share it with you. And when we come to that part, I want to just park there for a moment so you can see that Jesus wanted to identify that one of the things that hinders potentially those who have the good seed, that hinders them, is fear from having a harvest of the magnitude that God desires. Matthew 25, 14 and following, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to what? His own ability." Aren't you glad God doesn't hold you accountable for Dylan's wisdom up here? Or Dylan accountable for what I'm accountable for? No, God given us different gifts, and He doesn't give us more than we're able to bear. We know that. And so this story of the talents brings us into context. To one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then He went away. And he who had received the 5 talents, what did he do? Yeah, but what did he do immediately? He went at once, immediately. Someone said, "You want to get something done? Find somebody really busy." Don't be shocked if God blesses you with a little more assignment. That is, if you're being faithful in what you're doing now. Because that is a kingdom principle, that he who is faithful in least, amen? And so he had received the 5 talents, went at once, and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. Well, any business person understands this. I'm not sure everybody in the church understands this. So also he who had the two talents made what? Two more. Okay, so far we're talking about some pretty good return, right? 100% return. Pretty good. How many of you be happy with 100% return this year? On what you've got out there, would that be all right? Okay. I mean, Jesus has given an illustration of somebody that's making wise investment decisions. How do you think God understands the market and understands how to guide his people and how to protect us, and we should have wisdom and good godly counsel, and amen? So the story is that so far, both of these, they've had 100% return. But he who had received the one talent, look at Gideon. Can you hear Gideon? He's hiding. I mean, you could have been standing in the field, you wouldn't have seen him, because he's all hunkered down. He's trying to scrounge a little bit of the harvest because he's afraid of the enemy that's going to come in and steal it. So he's in there trying to beat out the last of the juice and the last of the grain and salvage something because everything's being stolen. And an angel says to him, "Mighty warrior." And Gideon is like, "Who is that?" You know, Gideon didn't know any mighty warriors. He hadn't seen any mighty warriors. Gideon had all kinds of questions for the Lord. If you're still with us, if you still care about us, then why are things like they are? Why are we in such a mess? Where is this mighty warrior? Who is going to stand up? God says, "You are. You are. You're the mighty warrior. You're the one I'm calling." And then he sent him on a real easy task. He said, "Go and destroy all the demonic symbols and worship centers. Go to the heart, the most demonic place that your father has established. I want you to go to the root of evil in your community, and I want you to confront it, and I want you to burn it down. I want you to destroy it. I want you to do something with the stronghold of darkness. Bring the power and anointing of your Lord to the power of darkness and put him out of business." So this mighty warrior in the stealth of night, so nobody will know who the mighty warrior is, he sneaks up on it and chops down the poles and burns them down. And come morning, all the investigators, the snoopers, are out trying to find out who did such a thing. And I kind of like what Gideon's father said. If these gods can't protect their own images, then why should you be concerned about them? Let them deal with my son. I believe we may be coming to a point in time where the church is going to become so bold and courageous that we will fulfill what the Word of God says, that we will be as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one pursues them.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible.